Okay. Let's move on with the little block supervisor concept. We're going to move on to, which one is it?
C.
Put a creek. Let the record show the supervisor Chris is back.
Thank you.
Okay. You know what to do, you know what to do.
Yeah. Good morning, Haley Lane, Planning Director. This is the second reading for the Peter Creek Orchard Camp project. During the first meeting, we had a very, very lengthy discussion on the project, so I'm not going to rehash anything, but we did have some additional conditions and mitigation measures to, you know, strengthen the resiliency of the project that I wanted to highlight. So within the MMRP, we did update mitigation 8.3 under hazards and hazardous materials related to fire conditions. And so that new mitigation measure reads, when fire conditions exceed the fire danger burn index of 95 percentile, the camp will provide additional and adequate transportation on site. When the FDBI exceeds the 97 percentile, camp operations shall cease. And KCOC will enter into an MOU with Siskiyou County OES at the direction of the board supervisors, memorializing this requirement. And so that would also include Supervisor Kopsev's concern with fire suppression, so that could be handled within the MOU, as well as Supervisor Ogren's concerns related to, you know, identification of the transportation vehicles. So, you know, staff will move forward with working on that. Additionally, we added and modified a number of conditions of approval to use permit 11-15, and so the reason we added what I will talk about within the conditions of approval is because that is easier for us to enforce locally versus, you know, CEQA and civil litigation and all of that stuff. So, for example, we did add a condition number 18 related to daily occupancy, and so that condition reads, daily occupancy shall not exceed 622 people on site, with the exception of the annual one-time-per-year event, Autumn Festival, which shall not exceed 1,250 persons on site. Daily records of site attendance shall be maintained and subject to inspection by the Community Development Department at will, and a five-year review shall be conducted and presented to the Board of Supervisors. We also added condition of approval number 19, which reads, occupancy shall be phased in at the following five-year increments, commencing upon the issuance date of the use permit. 412 daily occupancy at year 5, 499 daily occupancy at year 10, 594 daily occupancy at year 15, and 622 daily occupancy at year 20. We also added condition of approval number 20, which reads, all groundwater wells shall be utilized for domestic purposes only. Lastly, we modified condition of approval number 4, which reads, prior to the issuance of the use permit, the project must comply with all applicable 2014-4290 standards identified by CAL FIRE in their letter dated December 2nd, 2018, meet all 4291 requirements of the Public Resources Code, and implementation of the Forest Management Plan to the satisfaction of CAL FIRE. So those are the changes to the project that I wanted to highlight this morning. In the staff report package, there is a zoning ordinance associated with the parcel proposed to be changed from TPZ to rural residential. And then there is also a resolution which signifies certification of the final EIR, the use permit, as well as the zone change. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any correspondence, Wendy?
Yes, we received correspondence at the clerk's level. Basically, I sent the information that was given to the board on 418 from Betsy and Michael Stapleton. Ann Marsh sent in three pieces of correspondence. Belinda Perlman sent one. Jennifer Blackman with Barkiewicz, Kronick, and Shanahan also sent one in today, this morning.
Okay.
And I forwarded those to the board. I have copies here if anybody wants to see them.
Adam F. and G. are proponents and opponents. Public comments. And do we have any up there? Okay.
Yes, we do.
Michael Stapleton.
to say something, Aetna, I'm going to go very quick because I have 3 minutes. So anyway, I handed you guys just something from the State Regional Water Board. You can just read it. Self-explanatory. I want to go back on a recap of the meeting 2 weeks ago. The county's been promoting this 310 with its 145 staff for the current occupancy level. Andy himself stated it's 221 during his presentation. So what is it? He did have that in writing. Next highlight, when it came down to determine the occupancy levels, which I think is your job, it's very important. That's what affects the impacts, which is what this is all about. Supervisor Help, it's his district, he's the one that has to deal with the impacts. He stated that he wanted to go with 500. At that time, Andy stood up and said that all the neighbors agreed to 622. That was absolutely a false statement. Several neighbors will testify that was a false statement. And it immediately swayed. I watched. As soon as he said that, you guys thought, well, this is a done deal. You all voted for it. He swayed the vote with that false information. So why am I up here? I don't live on Kidder Creek Road. I live on French Creek Road. I've seen the impacts of the JH. Their level's at 387. Their legal level now is supposed to be 387. The county has told me they have no idea how many people are actually up there. The county has told me they have no idea of figuring out how many people are up there. During the summer, it's dangerous to pull out of our driveway. We can no longer walk on French Creek Road in the summer. We cannot ride a horse. Our pets have been killed, our wildlife's killed. The impacts of the citizens, the neighbors up there are so great. Most of the properties around surrounding the JH ranch have given up and said, we just can't deal with it anymore. And JH comes in and buys their property at reduced values. So, and I think that this has happened maybe a couple times on Kidder. They people already can't handle the impacts. And so they come in and they just go buy it. On JH, a lot of these parts of these houses, people are moving into them. The JH is putting people into these homes, and then they just claim their employees, so you have no control over what they're doing. And I really ask you to just seriously think about what's more important, the profits of Mount Hermon or the impacts of the lives, you know, for the taxpaying neighbors. You know, just make a reasonable level. Andy said it's 221. 500 is doubling their occupancy. Isn't that enough? So please consider that. This is the last chance. Thank you.
Brenda Phelps?
Morning, supervisors. My name is Brenda Phillips, and I live on South Kidder Loop. And looking over the supplemental staff report written after the April 18th meeting, I'd like to bring to the Board of Supervisors a couple of concerns I have. Firstly, I'd like to point out that the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp has been involved with a CAL FIRE in planning how to deal with fire hazards that may occur. Evacuation routes have been planned for the camp attendees, but other residents in the immediate area have not been consulted or involved in any of this planning. It's only through attending Board of Supervisors and Planning Commission meetings that some very strange ideas on evacuation have come to light. For example, having foot traffic take an evacuation route that would cross the creek to the north bank, or having an evacuation shuttle turn around at the junction of Highway 3 and South Kidder Creek Road. I'm sure CAL FIRE didn't come up with these ludicrous ideas, but they aren't very reassuring for the nearby residents. I think it would be productive for everyone in the area to have an opportunity to put their heads together with CAL FIRE and the camp that would serve us all. Locals have a right to be part of the planning. At the moment, we appear to be ignored and left out of the loop. Concerns of residents, particularly along South Kidder Creek Road, about joining a stream of travelling along the main evacuation road have not been addressed. Secondly, it's my understanding that rules and regulations are updated over time to keep abreast of changing circumstances. The supplemental staff report dated May 2nd in the discussion and analysis section, number 4, of the California Public Resources Code, section 4290, states that the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp project must comply with the 2014 4290 standards identified by CAL FIRE. In this time of drought, why aren't the most recent 2019 standards being used? I noticed in minutes and reports of January 18, 2023 and April 18, 2023, the 4290 standards are referred to without any date attached. Makes sense. Why can't we have the latest and greatest measures in force instead of an old book? Thank you.
Thank you. Peter Walker.
Good afternoon, almost. My name is Fred Walker, and I'm speaking for my husband, Albert Wagner. I'm going to read his letter. You got a copy here. Dear Honorable Supervisors, thank you for accepting my comments. Kidder Creek Orchard Camp is in violation of the Scott Valley Area Plan. Policy 43 of the Scott Valley Area Plan states that it is the intent of this plan to channel all high-density residential development into existing urbanized areas of Fort Jones, Etna, Callahan, and Greenview. We are looking at a proposed development by a multi-million-dollar corporation headquartered in Santa Cruz to build a privately owned town having a transient population about the same number as of Etna or Fort Jones, but on Kidder Creek. This is exactly the kind of development that the Scott Valley Area Plan intended to prevent. It doesn't matter whether the development is called a summer camp, a resort, a lodge, or a motel. The reality in terms of impact, it is essentially a town having occupants and residents 12 months of the year, nearly the same number as in Etna. The negative accumulation impact is the same or worse regardless of whether the same individual resides in a week, a month, or for years. This is not how the authors of the Scott Valley Plan intended and the supporting voters wanted development to take place. This is wrong. Usually when a corporation builds a town, it is to house the workers and their families who then contribute to the social and economic well-being by paying taxes, shopping at stores, attending schools, and participating in community affairs. But this proposed Mount Hermon town will contribute very little to the community while exploiting the resources and services. If the Board of Supervisors is unwilling to enforce the goals of the Scott Valley Area Plan and allow this development to go forward, I am concerned that it will set a precedent and encourage similar kinds of development. How many more J.H. Ranch can be closed before the special treasure of the valley is destroyed? As more of these tax-exempt developments take place, county revenues diminish while services, obligations, and responsibilities increase. For example, in 2013, J.H. Ranch received welfare exemptions on 387 acres of property, thus removing assessed values of $9,840,371 from the tax rolls. This resulted in $92,843,000 of lost revenue for Siskiyou County. There are many excellent reasons other than presented why this proposal should not go forward, but for me, it is essential to defend and protect the Scott Valley Area Plan. This valley is unique in so many ways and is one of few beautiful places in California that developers have destroyed. Today, I'm asking you, as our elected representative, to keep it that way.
Thank you. Dee Jones.
My name is Dee Jones. I live at 711 South Kidder Creek, approximately 1 mile east of Kidder Creek Orchard Camp. Thank you, Supervisors, again, for allowing the public to have input, even though certain other members of the public have downplayed our input as being only emotional and not factually based. I feel compelled here to tell you that while these people are my friends and my neighbors, and have come to me about 7 years ago wanting to talk about the number, they came with their number of 844. And Melinda Perlman and I sat with Andy and Tim, and we said, 844 ain't going to fly with us. Go and sharpen your pencil and come back. They came back with a number 622, wanted us to get on board. We said, that's a good start. We never endorsed that number. We would never endorse that number. The increase in number has been our objective, our objection. We don't object to their ministry. We don't object to their friendships. We don't object to them expanding, but we want it to be reasonable. 622 people is too many. Please, I beg you, reconsider that number. Can't you ratchet it down a bit? Give the residents, the tax-paying residents, some little bone. Thank you.
Melinda Perlman.
Hello, Melinda Perlman. I live less than a mile from the camp. This expansion is so untimely and dangerous for KCOC's campers and the hundreds of people living in adjacent neighborhoods. We know fire danger, noise, impacts, water issues, traffic, and no adequate second escape road with no evacuation plan for neighbors is what we'll be voting on today as having no environmental or safety risks. I agree with Brenda and our group, Keep Scott Valley Rural. We would like to be included, all the neighborhoods that will be impacted, not just south and north Deer Creek, in a plan with CAL FIRE and CAMP so that we can figure out a safe evacuation plan for everybody in the South Deer. That really needs to be done. Okay, Andy Morgan stated that the neighbors had approved the 622 occupancy years ago. Dee spoke to that, and Dee and I were there together. I said no, and Dee said, that's a good place to start. So it's not true that we accepted that number. Mr. Valenzuela, at the last meeting, I feel like you ignored and did not acknowledge Supervisor Howe's suggestion of lowering the occupancy number to 500. It felt like obvious overreach as you allowed Andy to leap up here and say the neighbors approved 622. And yeah, we saw the whole complexion change with you guys. Not true. Okay. And then the last thing is, as Ms. Buckman's accusation in her letter that Keep Scott Valley Rural has caused many delays in approving the project, Mr. Fowle stated that KCOC has dealt with over a dozen different planners over the years. The county's mass turnover and ineptness created the JH debacle. I worry it's going to happen again with so many serious issues and impacts in this expansion. Please take another one.
Now let's go online.
Battery 100%. Caller ending in 2131, it's your turn to speak.
This is Ann Marsh. Is it time for me to speak?
Yes, it is.
All right. You have read my letters, I'm sure. I have the two huge concerns. That is, if you approve it as you've written it, the camp will have double the occupancy that you are stating because of the overlap that they do with their program. I put that in both my short message to you and in my long letter. Please clarify what daily occupancy means. Is it over a 24-hour period that only that many people can be there? Exactly what is it? So that the camp, their successors, and we, the residents here, know what exactly to expect. The other thing is, how is the phasing to happen? Pardon me. Will it happen immediately, go to 412, or will that just go up incrementally over the five-year period? The other concern that I did not put in my letter is that I'm very concerned about there being only a 5-year review of the camp. This is a hot button issue here in the valley, and I really believe that you should take that back to the drawing board and state that there be a 1-year review, especially after the first year, so we can see what's going on and how it is playing out. But please do clarify what is daily occupancy so that we don't use overnight occupancy and have 10,000 during the day and only 412 at night. And clarify how that phasing works. And yes, keep us Scott Valley people, all of us who live here, work here, this is our life, keep us in this process. I thank you for all you do for us as supervisors. I am not opposed to the camp as it is, but I am opposed to them using the loopholes they've used to increase their numbers so exponentially. Thank you for hearing my comments.
And anyone else online?
Showing no others online.
Okay, Ms. Walker, I'm afraid you already had a bite at the apple. If you have one written comments for something else, you can please send those in.
Okay.
Sorry, if I do it for one, I got to do it for everyone. I don't go down that route.
No, I just spoke for my husband. I want to speak for myself and ask one question.
Well, then it should have been the other way around. You should have spoke for yourself and then send the written comments for your husband.
Okay.
Apologize for that. But again, if I open up that can of worms, it just sets me
okay.
Uncharted territory. Anyone else in house that hasn't spoken? Anyone online that has not spoken and wishes to speak to this?
Showing none online.
Okay, so do I close the hearing, Wendy?
Well, it is the second reading. Is it the ordinance was not changed significantly? So
it was just mitigation measures, if I recall.
Just the mitigation measures added for the use permit as part of the resolution.
You're going to take action on it.
We are going to take action today, one way or another. I'm closing the hearing. Okay, I wanted to make sure we follow every opportunity.
Thank you.
I don't want to be perceived that I didn't allow something to happen when it should happen, because I make too darn many mistakes. I haven't used it before. All right, so let's have some discussion. Supervisor Haupt?
Start down there first. I'd like to hear what the other supervisors are thinking.
Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Oh, sure. I know we had all the mitigation factors in there. They'll be addressed. They've been addressed in the staff report. I feel like we've asked if what we're supposed to ask to safeguard everything. I know we had serious concerns about fire. Those are being addressed. Remember the red flag approach. Putting people out. So I feel comfortable moving forward.
Somebody's over.
I know this is contentious, and I know that we'll never get, no matter what we do, we're not going to please everybody. I also realize that even if this gets approved today, there are a lot of things that have to be done before the use permit is issued. So there's a lot of work to do. So it's not as if we approve and the numbers go up. So everyone's got to keep that in mind. We've, as you all know, we've spent a lot of time working on this. Haley has done an outstanding job making sure that we understand all the ins and outs of this, that the Kidder Creek folks have done everything that they can possibly do to make sure that they're living up to our expectations and hopefully everybody else's. And we just have to be able to make up our minds one way or the other.
I appreciate the mitigations that are in there. I think that we've addressed what we can on that front. I think it'll be incumbent upon Kidder Creek to fulfill those. Again, the use permit isn't going to happen tomorrow. There's quite a few parts of this that do have to be done before the use permit can be established. My only one question is going to be with regard to enforcement, particularly on vegetation management. How is that going to work? I know we're creating an MOU. I know we're working with OES. I'm going to use, I'll call it the Star Camp. I mean, we gave them a permit and they kind of blew it off the first year, and that, to me, the use permit should have been revoked. So how will this work on this one if the fire mitigation isn't, or the vegetation isn't dealt with?
So I'll let Brian add if he needs to, but obviously if you know, the vegetation removal is not where it needs to be, we would go through the process to revoke the use permit.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need to know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you want to help?
Yeah, I want to come back to a couple things. There was a, comment made that it couldn't live with this proposal. I can't live with the current not having a proposal in place. And the reason I can't is because, thank God, JH, thank God Kidder has not pushed the envelope like JH, because they could be doing exactly what JH is doing today, because they will now have a permit that's enforceable and JH does not. And I know many of you have understood that we've had countless discussions about the abuses with that particular camp being under a different use authority with no teeth in it to speak of, where this one has actual performance measures that will cancel the permit if they're not met. And currently, it doesn't really matter at Kidder what is in the old permit, because like JH, it's not enforceable because of the way it was written. I want to come back to a couple other things too. For my public that's here, you're my neighbors too. Since September, I believe it was September the last time, the Planning Commission thought they were going to send that to us, and then sent it back at least once. I'm not even recalling how many times it was sent back. I spent hundreds of hours with staff and with three attorneys to get to where we are today and be relatively comfortable. And, you know, yeah, I wish this never came up on me. This is the most difficult decision for my community I have been confronted with in the 9 years I've been in office. And it is contentious, but it is two things. It is filled with opinions on all sides, but it's also filled, from my perspective, with a lot of staff time invested on every one of your comments with my attorneys. And I'm also in a legal proceeding as well, going through this permit process. So it's not just a typical yes or no kind of political answer for me in this. I'm bound by lots of things on either side, law, and the conformity of all the law in the county. I want to go to a couple things. I want to ask Haley. So the 4290 that somebody brought up, my understanding is that we will have the latest in our permit requirement, regardless of what CAL FIRE inspects. We'll have our own inspection process. Is that correct?
4290 specific?
Well, whatever we come up with as requirements in the permit. And I'm getting to the defensible space piece and the other things that we've discussed behind the scenes that I think need to be scrutinized a little better.
Okay, I can speak to that. Rick Teen, Community Development Director. 4290 regulations is kind of a two-piece thing in a sense, right? So there's a discussion about the 2014 versus current regulations. The it's all tied to when the permit is basically applied for, that data set. It's essentially similar to a building permit, for example. and code changes. You bring in a building permit on such and such date, you lock in at those codes at that time. So 4290, in regards to Kidder Creek, that is locked in at previous to 2019 rights. The road for egress.
So, those are the bounds of CEQA and not the bounds of our decision, correct?
Correct. Yes, through the process, yes.
Yes.
And just to further elaborate on that, the access road or egress road for emergency purposes will meet the current standard because it is a new piece that's going to be developed.
Okay. The other things that have been added as part of our permit requirements are the yet to be done thinning pieces on the property, inspections about defensible space within the camp itself, and other things yet to be developed. I want to talk a little bit about the evacuation. Is a big deal. The public, because my understanding, you can help me with this, from a CEQA standpoint, CEQA has a boundary that we look at, and doing an evacuation plan for the public really isn't part of that CEQA process, but I can guarantee you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that OES, when we develop the plan for Kidder's evacuation, it will include the local communities that are encumbered by these roads as well. It's not like we don't have a plan.
Yes, Brian Shoney, Director of Emergency Services. Yes, so absolutely, Supervisor. One of the plans of that is that a lot of the stuff that we've put in for Kidder Creek is prior to any actual evacuation order. So that would be an evacuation warning, and then anything prior to that would be evacuation orders. And that's where the public would definitely be involved. So a lot of what we have pushed for the evacuation process of Kidder Creek is still only in a warning, and it would be before an order is even pushed.
Yeah, one of my expectations is that we carry on the conversation that we've had, that we look at like one way traffic out, and those kinds of things that would protect both your occupants as well as the public.
And absolutely. So the idea of this is to ensure that we have this across the board. And this isn't just Kidder Creek. This is every single resident that lives within Siskiyou County or borders our residents. Is that evacuation planning and understanding where to go, what you need to do during an evacuation. So preparedness is key, and we are just preparing more in just in case that doesn't happen. But yes, the public is our absolute major concern for all agencies.
That specific thing is why I answered Kidder, that you're in and out with transportation isn't going to work, because it can't. Mr. Dean, could you address the daily thing and the occupancy, please?
Yes, we made that language very specific to utilize the term on site at any time. And you know, for most of us, daily is a 24-hour period. So with any day, of any week, of any month, their occupancy set during the phasing that's in place is not to be exceeded on site specifically. Whether they're camping there or walking there or hiking there or whatever.
Doesn't matter. Thank you. And then
reviews.
For a 5-year review, it's my understanding, a lot of these facilities we inspect on an annual basis.
Right. So the potential confusion with the review is this is something new. This is 5-year review is something you brought back to the Board of Supervisors to check in and see how things are going out there on the site.
That's a formal review with us, but yes, it's not a board inspection process.
Okay. Inspection process will be annually, one through the Environmental Health Department is organized camp. Cal Fire has their 4291 regulations they do triannually. And also OES built into the MOU will have a say in fire drills, etc., other activities that are happening on site on an annual basis.
Okay. So I have every expectation that Clear Creek is going to meet all the requirements in this permit. I have all the expectations that Mr. Dean and his department will be on top of the inspections. And you can have the expectation that I'll watch it closely and any complaints I take seriously moving forward and will be addressed. I'm the same place I was. I've looked at all your recent comments that have come in. I've addressed them with staff behind the scenes, and I'm ready to go forward with this today.
So, quite by the applicant, so I have to say this, you know, one of the things is that, you know, we follow a process. And so one of the things, you know, looking forward, I think, and I think appropriately so. I mean, this is an existing facility, operation expanding, so I think a 5-year review is appropriate. I think if something new came in, it should be more like a 1-year review or whatever. But that's something new for us as a board, so things that we can't foresee happening, we can address somewhere down the line. And I think that's overall is a benefit to the whole county. I get this is a contentious issue. I get that this is a difficult decision, that we all face at one point or another because we all have issues within our jurisdictions. So, you know, no one's going to be completely happy with this either way. But I am, as the chair, board chair, my job isn't to make a decision so much as to make sure we follow a process and everyone has their say in the bite of the apple. That's my overall function. So when I hear a comment that I try to influence something, no. My influence is trying to make this thing move along to get to this decision point. So at this point, it is decision time. So is there help? Are you ready to make any kind of motion?
The recommended motion.
Recommended motion?
I'll second.
We have a second.
All righty. Roll call, Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
I'll be an aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay. Thank you, Steph. Thank you for all the hard work and effort. Thank you all the public that came in with comments. We did take them seriously. We did read every... I'm sure my fellow board members did read every piece of email. At that, we're going to go into closed session, and we'll be back in at 1:30.